scripture reading this morning is 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Good to see each and every one of you. We have visitors with us. We're very thankful that you've come our way. I try to make my way around, but with three kids, sometimes they suck up more of my time than I would like them to. But that is fine. I love them dearly. Certainly, they make life interesting each and every day. What a blessing that is. Because sometimes people have boring lives, you know? My life is never boring. You know, as we finish up a week of VBS, there's so many thank yous to go out. And it's always a good thing when there's so many thank yous that you can't really name everyone by name. Because I think of all the teachers, I think of all the people that helped with food, I think of all the people that helped with decorations, I think of all the parents that brought their children, I think of all the grandparents that brought their children, and we're just so very thankful for that week that we had. It's truly, I think, one of the works of the congregation where truly you need everyone to come together and offer all the talents that they have. Because as we look at one another, we realize how flawed we are as individuals, but collectively, coming together, we can accomplish great things for the Lord, even in our imperfection. So we're so thankful for all of that. And we do remember that our quarter is changing, and if you have a child that needs to move up in grade level, next Sunday will be the Sunday for them to move up, right as we go into this next school year. If you look at 1 John chapter 3, that's where we're going to be spending the majority of our time this morning, thinking about being a child of God, and certainly thinking about being blessed as a child of God. That's something that we cannot forget. In the world which we live in the society which we find ourselves in the culture which we find ourselves in, perhaps sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. But I really think if we can remember that we are a child of God, if we can remember whose we are, and think of all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in that respect, I think it can help lead us to a joyful life, certainly a peaceful life, and certainly abundant life as we live upon this plane of life of the world. You know, children of God, when we're talking about Christians, we truly are blessed by God. And perhaps some of these statements I'm going to say are going to sound slightly arrogant, but I heard in college one time, always stuck with me, there's a difference between arrogance and confidence. Arrogance is when you can't back it up, confidence is when you can. And when we realize, as children of God, the blessings which we have are not based on ourselves, but based on God, I truly think we come from a place of confidence. Truly, a child of God, a Christian, is really blessed. Beyond the rest. Really, when we think about the life which we have, the abundant blessings that we have, as we reflect on those, we see, we understand that we are blessed. I think it's James chapter 1 and verse 17, where it talks about every good and perfect gift comes from above. We think of that. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. We think of those blessings which God has bestowed upon us in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25. It talks about God giving us life, breath, and all things, as we see the preaching that's happening there. Life, breath, and all things. There are certainly blessings that God has bestowed upon the whole world. We think of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, where it talks about the rain falling on the just and the unjust. God has blessed mankind. He has blessed humankind. But for the child of God, we are certainly blessed above the rest. Abundant blessings that are showered on us each and every day. The psalmist says, he who daily loads us up with benefits. There are blessings of being a child of God. And as we are here together this morning, I think it would be good for us to reflect, to think about these blessings that we have as children of God. If you look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, I think it starts to point us to the relationship that we have with God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it does not know him. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That is the foundation of Christianity. Not only is it the foundation of Christianity, it's the foundation of our relationship with the Creator. Our Creator, God. Our relation with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You understand that you have a unique relationship with God. You have a unique relationship with the King. Many times, many people make a big deal about relationships. Relationships are so very important. But I can tell you this, the relationship that we have with God as children of God is so very special, and it is based on that foundation of love. Our relationship with the Creator is grounded in love. You know, you think about that for a few minutes. The relationship we have with God is very special. It's not like many of our worldly relationships, although there's worldly relationships that could compare on certain levels. But you think about this. When is the last time the President of the United States has answered my call? What about the Governor of West Virginia? You know, I like to think I'm important, I'm a voter, you know? But would the Governor really answer my call? Would the President answer my call? And when we think about our relationship with God, have you thought about the intimate relationship that we have with God because of the love that He has for us? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. You know, you think about that idea. When you're a child of God, when you're a Christian, that comes with many benefits. And we're not going to be able to discuss all those this morning, but one of the benefits is we become heirs. And you think about that, you have parents, and typically when our parents pass away, there's maybe some things that they would leave us. It never has to be anything really, but a lot of times when someone passes on this earth, they might leave a ring or a necklace or something symbolic or something important to them, perhaps a land or something like that, is that we are children of God, and because we're children of God, we're heirs. What will we receive from God in that respect? I think of Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Romans chapter 8 verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs. There's something special about being a child of God. Is when we're a child of God, we become an heir of God. Well, an heir of what? Romans chapter 8 verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We become heirs according to the promise. And the promise goes really, I think, really, you can go back to Adam and Eve to kind of find some of the promise, but really, we're talking about that promise to Abraham, that through his seed, all nations would be blessed. As a child of God, we become heirs. Heirs to what? We can become heirs to the promises that were made to those of old. And certainly, I think of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 is a great passage talking about being children of God and looking at that and that idea of being heirs. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and following. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if we are Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When we think about our relationship with God, being a child of God, the Bible is making another connection. If we're children of God, then we're also heirs. And we're heirs of what? We're heirs of the promise. The promise all the way back to Abraham that through his seed all nations would be blessed. And certainly Jesus was that Messiah. He came and he fulfilled all those prophecies. And through Jesus, we have this opportunity that it says, for all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's significant. We understand as children of God, we become heirs. We become part of the family. And becoming part of the family, we are heirs according to the promise and all those blessings. And what's interesting about Galatians chapter 3 is it says, for as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, is when we put on Christ, we're in Christ. And that's where we really need to be when it's all said and done. Because Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. And if you start reading through your Bible, you're going to find that that is truly the case. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. It says salvation is in Christ Jesus. It says the forgiveness of sins is in Christ Jesus. All these sins are in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Well, how do I get into Christ Jesus? I think Galatians chapter 3 is trying to give us a picture. We are baptized into Christ. and we put on Christ, and that is where all those spiritual blessings are. Understanding a child of God has a unique relationship where we are heirs. And what a special relationship that is. And that relationship is founded on love, which we see really throughout 1 John chapter 3, but really throughout the Bible. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." The foundation of our relationship, of being a child of God, is because of the love that He showed to us. We think of John chapter 3 and verse 16. We think about all the love which God has bestowed upon us, which was not just a love of word, but was a love of action, where we see God sacrifice Himself for us, that we could be in a relationship with Him, that we could be heirs according to the promise. We think of Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us." We understand that we are blessed above the rest. As children of God, we become heirs according to the promise, and really all those spiritual blessings. We have a relationship with God on high. We have a relationship with God in heaven. And the only reason we have such an opportunity is because of the love that He has shown each and every one. A love that cannot be denied, a love that was seen on the cross and seen throughout His life as Jesus served and to give us this opportunity to become children of His. And also, as you look at Galatians chapter 3, not only do we understand that we're children, we're heirs, we end up joining this family where there's all these social things that the world says that matter, don't really matter. As you look at Galatians chapter 3, it says there's neither slaves nor free. It starts going through these different categories that the world wants to say is important, but God has brought us together through the love of Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with one another. We have a relationship with each other. We have a relationship with deity. We have that, as Peter mentioned, white, precious faith. And we start to think about that. If we are God's people, and what a blessing that is, our relationship to God, our relationship to deity, because of the love which He had has bestowed upon us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We have a relationship with the Lord. We have a relationship with others, with each other. We understand the spiritual riches. We have blessings that the world doesn't understand. We have blessings that lead us to very positive thinking, and I think thinking that helps us to live a better life. But God tries to lead us away from anxiety to peace. What a blessing that is. God is our refuge. That God can give us a stillness in life that really, I think if we use it appropriately, can be evangelistic. If people will look at our lives and say, "How can Kyle be so still and so calm as he goes through this disaster in his life? How can Kyle be so still and calm as he's going through this or that?" And really, it's a chance for Christians to show our relationship with God. How can you be so calm when disease comes? How can you be so calm when disaster comes? How can you be so calm when death comes? And we have many brothers and sisters in Christ that have had such opportunities, and they are fantastic examples because they show the joy of their relationship with God, and they show the stillness that God can offer in their lives because of the relationship they have. They understand the spiritual riches, the spiritual blessings that they have. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, it says salvation is in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. In Romans, it says there's no condemnation in Christ. When you start adding all these things up, how blessed we are to be a child of God, to be in a relationship with the King, to be in a relationship with the Father, to be in a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what resources He offers us as we go throughout this life. We think of the avenue of prayer. God does not leave us ill-equipped. In fact, we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we start to realize that God has given us everything we need. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof,
for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us all that we need. He has not left us ill-equipped as His children. Well, you think about that. As we are parents, as we are grandparents, I think one thing that is constantly on our mind is trying to prepare our children. Try to make sure our children have their needs. Maybe not necessarily their wants, but their needs. To try to prepare them for life. And I think that that is what God the Father has done with the Bible. The Word of God. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given us everything that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work as we go throughout this life. Have you considered your relationship with the Lord? Because when you consider your relationship with the Lord, you realize you're an heir. You realize the love. You realize the actions that God has bestowed on our behalf. We think about His people. We think about the oneness that we have. We think about the blessings which God has blessed us with, spiritual and physical, and we start to realize how rich we really are. You know, the world can strip a whole lot from us. You know, I think of Job. You know, you think about Job of old and all the things that were stripped from him. His family, his health, his wealth. And when it was all said and done, Job stood firm and he said, I'm going to be faithful to God through all of this. Now you think about that. As we look at many of the servants that we see in the New Testament, all the adversities that they face, all the trials, all the tribulations, I think many of them got through it because they focused each and every day on the idea that they were a child of God and they were blessed. You can beat me, you can rip me, you can take these things from me, I can lose my health, I can lose my wealth, I can lose these things, but I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm a child of God, and because of that, I'm rich. God has made me rich, and whatever state I find myself in, whether slave or free, I can stand and say, I am rich. I'm a child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Whenever we get down, I do think that we should consider our blessings. We should thank our relationship to the Lord, because it will help us with our attitude as we go throughout life. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever adversity, whatever we're going through that's emotionally dragging us down, we always have the Lord and our relationship to Him. And that is a special thing. If we look at verse 2, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, I think it starts to get into the idea of not only are we blessed in all these ways because of the love and the relationship we have with God, but as we go into verse 2, I think it really starts to point us towards the Christian's destiny. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know, I think that second verse there starts to point us towards our destiny. As children of God, not only do we have all these spiritual blessings, not only as we consider that we're heirs, that we see the love of God, we see the actions of God, we see the people of God, we see the oneness, we see the blessings, we see the great riches that God has bestowed on us. Don't forget about your destiny as a Christian. Don't forget about your destiny. Don't forget about where you are going, our reward with the Lord. You know, we think of life and the blessings of life, and certainly God blesses us in those ways, and certainly He has promises in relation to our basic needs, not our wants, but certainly our needs. And certainly life doesn't always work out as we would plan, but God is there and He is faithful. But when you think of your destiny, what can really compare? Is when we think of a child of God, when we think of a Christian, when you think about all the blessings that God has bestowed, I mean, you'd really be cutting it so short if you miss out on your destiny. When you think about eternal life, I think in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, these things I've written to you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. It says there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's powerful language. And as we go throughout life, there's certainly going to be trials and adversities and challenges, but if we can focus long-term and not short-term, we're going to be so much better off. In fact, whenever we think about life, I suggest to you that most of the time, we are far better off when we think long-term rather than short-term. Now we have to think about short-term. We have to do the actions of the day and whatnot, but if you focus so much on the little, sometimes you miss out on the big picture. You know, when you started being able to record sporting events, I think it changed the whole emotional dynamic of sports. Because, you know, you can record that game, but you're going to hear or probably see on social media who won that game, and then you go back to watch it. Doesn't it, like, just change the whole feeling of the game, you know? When you know the ending, you know, you already heard that they come back and win, you know? You already heard it. It changes the whole emotional dynamic. Watch the game, know the ending, and watch the game and not know the ending, and see how you respond emotionally as you go through the game. It's a totally different experience. You know, God has tried to change our experience here on earth. He has tried to change our experience by saying, you know what? I'll tell you how this is. I'll tell you how this is for the child of God. It ends well. It ends with eternal life with God, our Father, in heaven. I think in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life with God who cannot lie, promised before time began. If we have a God who cannot lie, He has promised eternal life, He has promised heaven to His children, to those that follow Him in faith. When we know the ending, doesn't that change the dynamic of our life? Certainly in this life, we can grow weary. Certainly we can go through different things as we go throughout this life. But if we can just focus on the destiny of the child of God, that can totally change our the way we conduct ourselves and the way that we live our lives. Jesus will return. The destiny of the child of God. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 says, behold, He is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see Him. Even a day who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. That day is coming. The day that the children of God will see their Lord, their King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, return, and we will be in God's presence. Have you thought about the end? Have you thought about the end? Have you thought about judgment? Because for the child of God, it's so positive, I think it can change the whole dynamic of our life. When we know how life works out, we might go through death, we might go through disease, we might go through disaster, we might go through losing things throughout our life. If we know how it ends, does that not change our perspective on this life? God, who cannot lie. What did the God who cannot lie promise us? A home with Him one day. How does that not affect us as we live our day-to-day lives? As children of God, as servants of Him, knowing all the ways God has blessed us, that no matter what happens, we are in a blessed state because of our relationship with the King. And not only do we think about that, but we consider our destiny. We think about how this life ends. We fast forward to the end and we see how everything works out for the child of God. Does that not change the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we live our life? That day is coming. Now, we might not know when, which I think the Bible clearly teaches. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, it says, but the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. I don't think we know the exact time. And I think to speculate is a dangerous thing to do, because really the Bible just teaches us to be prepared, to be ready as we go throughout this life. But the promise of the coming of our Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 23-21, the Bible says there, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Certainly we are waiting for that home. We are waiting for that home of Jesus Christ, and certainly God has keys to the cemetery. And that's where a lot of people in this world think that life ends. But Jesus has keys to the cemetery, and all will rise. There's going to be those in relation to that. when we're thinking about the child of God, what a positive day that will be. But we think about our relationship to God as a child of God. We think about our destiny as a child of God. But the last thing I'd like to consider is the duty of the child of God. And certainly in the religious world, this is the one thing that I think many people will try to run from. We want to talk about the blessings and the riches. We want to talk about the destiny of the child of God. But have you ever thought about the duty of the child of God? As we turn back to 1 John chapter 3, and as we look at verse 3, I think we see a little picture of the duty of the child of God. It says, behold, verses 1 through 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Verse 3 says, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Have you ever thought of the duty of the child of God? You know, growing up, certainly there's certain things that you remember from your parents. One thing that my dad hammered as I grew up again and again and again was reputation and character. Is what will you do if no one else is looking? And the problem is we realize that God is always looking, and certainly in the day and age in which we live, there's always a phone somewhere that's going to catch us. Have you thought about your reputation? Have you thought about your character? Have you thought about your conduct as a child of God? Whenever we went out, Dad always talked about our reputation and the Lancaster name. He always talked about that. He said, whether you like it or not, he said, you carry the Lancaster name, and your actions will reflect upon that name. And when we think about us as children of God, have we thought about how we reflect God to the world? Certainly we think of the Sermon on the Mount, where it talks about us being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Have you thought about your duty as a child of God to reflect the best image you can of God? Certainly we're not perfect, we know we fall short, but do we think about that? Do I carry the Lancaster name well, but infinitely more important, do I carry the name of Christian well? When people think of me, when they think of my actions, do they think of pure actions? Do they think of righteous actions? Do they think of good things? Or do they associate it with the world? Sometimes, as children of God, perhaps people would look at our actions and they wouldn't even see what God would want to see. Look at verse 3 again. It says, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Hey, we have the hope of these riches. We have a hope based on His love and the sacrifices He's given. We have a hope in relation to being a child of God and being an heir and having these promises. We have a hope in relation to those things. And it says that everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Are you trying to purify yourself? Are you trying to be the best version you can be for the Lord because you're a child of God? And in many ways, you represent God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. I thought about that. That word pursue always gets me. Pursue peace with all people. Certainly, I think that's good. But then right after that, it's so short, people miss it. We're supposed to pursue peace with all people, and it says, and holiness. And holiness. We're supposed to pursue holiness. We're supposed to pursue purity. We're supposed to be the best example that we can be. And what we realize is that being a child of God, what it means is that it involves a death. And it is a death to self. And that's a hard death for people to go through. A death to self. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, and Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Have you died to self? Have you said that, you know what, I understand that now I'm a representation of Christ. I'm a representation of Jesus. I'm a child of God because of the love. And because of that love, I've become an heir of God. And being an heir of God, I understand my destiny. I understand the blessings. I understand the riches. But something you need to understand is that you're a representation of God. And we cannot forget that. In fact, it's amazing to me how do we forget to be pure, to be righteous, to live the best life that we can? Somehow, we miss this message of what God did for us. When we think about the love that God has afforded us this opportunity to call His children, how do we miss out and think that we are not a representation of God? I think of Titus chapter 2, it talks about this idea a little bit. I don't know how people miss it. When you think about what God has done for us, the love that He has bestowed on us, that we can be children of God, how do you respond to that? When you realize that you're on death row, that the wages of sin is death, and Jesus comes in and pays your fine, how do you respond to that? Do we really respond that says, well, thanks for paying my fine, thanks for getting me out of the death penalty, now I'm just going to live the life that I want to live, I'm not going to consider my actions, I'm not going to consider that I should be pure, I'm not going to consider that to be holy? We missed the lesson. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that. Wait, the grace of God has appeared to all men. It's supposed to teach us something. God giving us an opportunity to be saved to teach us something. What's it supposed to teach us? It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from our lawless deeds and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Wait, why did Jesus die? He died to redeem us. He died to buy us back. We were up on the slave trade, going to be slaves to sin. We had a debt that we could not pay, and Jesus says, I'll pay it, I'll buy you back. But why did He buy us back? He bought us back so we'd be pure, so we'd be holy, so we'd live the best life we could for Him. And look at that. It says that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Jesus didn't die so we would just go back and be friends with the world. He didn't die so we would go back and be children of the devil. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you're a child of one or the other. You're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. The world doesn't like that picture. But you know what? When we start looking at the Bible, it gives us absolute. You're either for Him or you're against Him. You're either on the narrow road or you're on the broad road. People don't like that. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And we have to start looking at ourselves and say, am I a child of God? I'm not perfect. But certainly, I am driven to be the best I can. I want to be pure. I want to be righteous. I want to deny these things that the Bible talks about, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. You know, when we became Christians, when we became child of God, children of God, really, we are trying to say, you know what, I'm not going to be in the sinning world. I'm not going to be in the sinning business anymore. Yes, we might slip up. Yes, we might fall. But we as Christians, we were crucified with Christ. We were supposed to die to that old self and live the best life we can as children of God. Are you trying to live that life? You have a duty to die. Die to that old self and serve God to the best of your ability. There's so many great things, so many blessings of being a child of God. But when you think about it, think about your relationship with God and the beautiful thing that we have there. Think about our destiny as children of God, and certainly think about your duty as a child of God. You should represent God to the best of your ability. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian today. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. I think the pattern we see in Acts is well established. We see the individuals hearing the word, they believed it, they repented, they confessed, and they were baptized. And we saw in Galatians chapter 3 that these people that are baptized, they put on Christ. And they became heirs to the promise. And when we think about those promises, how beautiful they are. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Yes, please come if you're subject to that as we stand as we sing.